So throughout the different Christmas ministries that we have going on at Christ Church, we're looking at one day, what's it all about? One day specifically being Christmas Day, of course, and then what is it all about? And obviously you can't cover everything that Christmas is all about in a series of services, but at the same time, as it is with God and the things of God, things that could be spent a lifetime looking into can also be summarized very quickly. One day is all about Jesus. And we're just looking at different ways in which this one day that's all about Jesus can be looked at. And this evening, we're looking about how the one day of Christmas is really all about the future. And it's about a future. It's about a hope. One of the things that that we believe as Christians, one of the things that the Bible asserts and maintains is that one day things will be better than they are now. Really, not just better, but things will be fixed. Things will be perfect. And sometimes that can be a bit of an embarrassing doctrine. And there might be people who say, well, what are you talking about? There's really nothing wrong with the world. The world is amoral. The creation, if you want to call it creation, the universe, the material world is amoral. You can't say it needs to be fixed. You can't say that something needs to happen. We need to adjust our perspectives or we need to do whatever. But even in that, there's an inherent sense in which we actually really do honestly, deeply, dearly, and truly know that something isn't right with the world that we live in. And we're not just even talking about society. We're talking about all respects. We sit and we see different natural disasters. We see the way people treat one another. We see the way just life happens. And we go, it could be better. We could not build houses in floodplains or in hurricane zones or near volcanoes. If we study these weather patterns and these fault lines and that sort of thing, then we can learn how things happen and we can avoid it. And if we study and we educate ourselves about the world we live in and viruses and other things, we can maintain our health. We can figure out a way to prevent disease and we can figure out a way to delay death. Or we can look at other things that aren't right with the world. We can look at whatever socioeconomic inequalities you might put your finger on, and you can say, through the right political systems, through the right economic policies, then we can do better than what we're doing now. And we have a series of endeavors as human beings that we've been pursuing for as long as we've been human. And say, if we work hard enough in this area, we can make the world better. We can fix this place. And we can fix our experience in this place. And one of the things that is missing from that equation that we see investigated, particularly in our society, in our culture, is a spiritual component to it. A spiritual component to it. We look at Romans. It says that verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. And there's just kind of three words I want to focus in on this. One is this business of frustration. Creation was subjected to frustration. Other translations will say futility. Some translations might say vanity. And basically what's meant in all of these words is a communication that there's some sort of desired end that will not be achieved, that will not be realized. And the same word gets used in order to indicate religious error. Religious error. And there are those who would say, well, that's simple because that's why I'm trying to get rid of religion and that's why I'm an atheist. Because all religious thought is religious error. Religion is the issue. Look at all the evil that's been done in the world in the name of religion. Goodness gracious. And I would just submit to you, that's like saying, Prescription drugs are terrible. Have pharmaceutical companies acted unethically? Certainly. Have the wrong drugs been prescribed to people so that bad things have happened to them? Yeah. Does that mean my brother-in-law with type 1 diabetes is going to stop taking his meds? Abso-stinking-lutely not. You can't look at the abuse of a thing, the misuse of a thing, and then conclude that that thing then just needs to be done away with. And the Bible would suggest that it was religious error that brought the world to be the way it is. Adam and Eve sinned. They committed religious error. Religion, how we relate to God. They disobeyed. They were placed in the Garden of Eden, placed on earth in the image and likeness of God. They were there to be His representation. To say, this is where the extension of the rule and reign of God extends to. And they are my delegates to rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the animals and the creeping things along the ground. And in that position, they sinned. And everything underneath their stewardship fell victim to their decision. As is the case with leadership. Many of you will know because of your roles as leaders in your workplace. And so God subjected the world to this frustration, subjected the world to the results of this religious error. And it is the world and ourselves, we are in bondage to decay. And we look at this and say, yes, everything is moving from order to disorder. We see this in physics. The Bible is scientifically accurate. And yes. But what we miss out sometimes is the movement then from disorder to order, from decay to wholeness, from corrupted to uncorrupted, from mortal to immortal, requires something spiritual. That decay, the word that gets decayed, can also have to do with moral decay, debauchery, and the sort. And this is why all creation groans with eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. As people, sons isn't just males. As human beings, males and females, place faith in Christ. They step away from, you and I step away from religious error into the truth. And we step into our rightfully created place as being delegates and stewards of the rule and reign of God on earth. And we sit back and we say, listen, we're very environmentally conscious. We think that there is a moral goodness and a moral rightness in caring for our planet and doing things like recycling, thinking about our carbon footprint. People will sit back and will say that birth control is a means of preserving our planet because human population is probably the most destructive force on it. And we'll go to great lengths to preserve the planet. But if we stop to consider that the first thing and the most pivotal thing that we as Christians have to contribute to the well-being of creation is the gospel itself. That stepping into truth, religious truth, relating to God properly is actually what creation is longing for. If the trees could talk, they'd say, thanks for recycling. I like being here. But would you come to know Jesus, please? Because it's as you step into that freedom that I get to step into that freedom. I've been placed under your stewardship. It's when every one of you who are going to step into that freedom do, it's when that happens that Christ then returns and makes it right. Every polluted beach, every species that's going extinct, every person suffering the effects of sin in their lives, if they had the wisdom, would say, please, please, please come to know Jesus. I want to be a part of this glorious freedom. The message of the gospel is so much bigger than, dude, you'll feel better about the bad things you've done when you recognize God has forgiven you. Although that's true. The gospel is so much bigger than, you know what, if you read the Bible, you can come up with some good ideas to help you with your finances, help you with parenting, help you when you're down, help you when you're a bit depressed, give you some words of wisdom to share with your neighbor. That's great. But the gospel is about all of creation stepping into the freedom of the truth. That Jesus came, lived among us. He's the second Adam, born of a woman, of the seed of Adam's race, but a new kind of Adam. Lived a life without sin. Died on a cross for sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Rose again on the third day, vindicating his life, saying, I am indeed the Son of God. God is indeed pleased with me. I have indeed conquered sin and death and these things that corrupt the world and you, and have ascended back to heaven to speak to the Father on your and my behalf, and to provide for us the Holy Spirit that we might be sons of God, male, female, Jew, Greek, slave, free, it doesn't matter. And we have the privilege of becoming sons of God through faith in him, being forgiven of our sins, and looking forward to the glorious freedom that not only is ours today through faith in Christ, in our hearts and in our spirits and in our lives, but is yet to come for the whole of creation. That's a big deal. This is what Christmas is about, among other things. And so this Christmas, let's remember that the baby born in a stable, Jesus, who is Lord, doesn't just save your life, doesn't just save my life, but saves the whole of creation. Let's worship him more profoundly. Let's come to know him if we don't yet already. And let's just be thinking, when I invite somebody to come along to Christmas something or other, I'm inviting them to the opportunity to participate with God in the making right of this upside down world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that while we missed, and while we did not use our leadership, our stewardship well and rightly, and it resulted in the subjugation of creation to frustration, that there was that was amid the hope that there would be a restoration. We pray, Lord, that this Christmas you would help us to understand, cause us to understand how big your salvation is in Christ, not just for us, but for the whole of creation, and that we would worship you more fully as a result of it, and share you more lovingly, more enthusiastically, and that as a result of this Christmas, we would know you better, and so would others. In Christ's name, amen.